You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live every day, Monday through Friday, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. So we do have friend of the show. If you like what you hear, let me know by becoming a friend of the show. If you also, well, let me back up a minute. What I would love is if you would, I want to start offering a few things on Friend of the Show so that when you become a friend of the show, there are some things that you can avail yourself of. And I have some ideas, which I will not tell you right now. I do have some ideas. I've got a little list going, but I would love to hear from you. What would, if, and you, again, there's no, you do not have to be a friend of the show, but I'm curious because I know there are certain things I really couldn't tell you what they are that when I see something, it's like, oh yeah, I want that. And you know, you've all done it. You go to someplace and get a lipstick, let's say, because you know that they've got this just the perfectly colored little bag and you like both of them. So you have a chance to be able to partake in both things that you like, something you might not have thought of before or may not have gotten for yourself or may not have seen before. So if you had a choice, if there was something you'd say, gee, I've always wanted to have. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be Catholic, but I'm going to make something up. It could be the life of Padre Pio, or it could be a rosary of green stones, or it could be a earrings of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or a military handbook of prayer. Maybe something historical. Maybe something psychological. Maybe a picture of my dog, you know, anything that you can think of that you would think, hey, that would be kind of fun. Any suggestions you might have, let me know. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. Just send something over. All you have to do, you don't even have to talk about it. Just say, I don't know. A collar for my cat, I know something. Just what are the kinds of things that would be fun to see that you might think of that I might not think of? I have some of the ideas I've actually gotten because I've seen either something that I didn't know about referred to on a blog or might have heard in whether it's through a YouTube or through radio. And so it gives me ideas and think, wow, I think that's cool. I check that out. So somebody else might appreciate that. So let me know. Maybe it's I know that at one point I purchased a long time ago the rosary from St. John Paul II, who was not saint, he was pope. And I just loved the pictures. I loved his mysteries. I love what he said about them, his little reflection before the mysteries. Everything about it fit me. I really like that. Someone else may like something else, maybe something in a different language even. So if you have any thoughts or ideas, please let me know. All right, so you know, yesterday we touched on the four humors, the four temperaments, and I'm having a lot of fun with them. And the reason is because they are ancient, they are antiquated. You don't come into an office and really, well, that's because you got some black bile going on there or because you're sanguine. These are our building blocks of our thoughts about human nature, about the different personality types, about how illness, physical illness, can come from mental issues. So many of these things are really from these concepts that seem so far-fetched, like leeches or something. You know, well, we come back to find that even though we're not doing leeches these days, which at one point happened to be a medical treatment that was used for a lot of different things, which I think I would find kind of freaky, but there was actually some scientific method behind using the use of leeches, even though they didn't know it at the time. And there are some surgeons, some physicians who actually have employed in a very scientific first world country leeches or other kinds of apparently antiquated and even something that you just wouldn't see or do now, that they have actually employed some of these things because there was some value to them, or there is some value. There are some things that there's no value to, such as giving someone, although we in chemotherapy, we kind of do this, we kill off certain things in order to kill off the bigger thing that'll kill us quicker. So we do tend to say the benefit outweighs the risk of very, very toxic chemicals. And like anything else, all the chemicals medicine has to offer, every single one of them are toxic. Every single one of them are toxic. Water is toxic. And if you take it inappropriately, people die from ingestion of too much water too quickly. They just do. So we have to look at everything in balance. And that's why I kind of went back yesterday and why I was looking at these humors just for fun from the 400 years before Christ was born, looking at the descriptions of the different personality types and drawing from that over the centuries, the inferences to personality, to why people get into certain areas, why one person is more athletic, one person is less athletic, realizing it's not just four components, but from these four building blocks, just like as you started out two cells. And so from the building blocks comes this very complex organism. So from the very building blocks of the observations of human nature and trying to put some kind of thought to them and seeing somehow they're connected with the elements of the earth, as we saw yesterday, certain humors are connected with certain elements of the earth, the fire, earth, water, and air, that these things were connected with some of the caloric, the melancholy, the sanguine, and the what are the four? I don't have them up here right now. So, the phlegmatic. I missed the phlegmatic. So these, and then they branched out, more branches and more branches. And as people began to understand the many branches, the way the two cells become the three cells and the four cells and the six cells and the eight cells and trillions of cells that happen over a lifetime. This is how it also happened with personality types, taking a look at a certain facial feature. Why are some people typecast in movies, in plays? They're typecast because their whole physical being, they might be the sweetest grandpa on earth, but they may have that look of the classic, mobster from the 1930s or whatever. They've got a certain look about them. And that look, just by virtue of that look, infers things about someone's personality. Now, we can't always rely on that, can we? We look at somebody like a Bernie Madoff, the one who stole all, that just pulled off those schemes that hooked in celebrities and scholars and smart, rich people. And he had a certain look about him. He looked really trustable. He had a look. So sometimes we have to go by more than just what we see on the outside. But these temperaments, I also love them because I wanted to use them as an ancient tool to helping you get out of the box of our modern day world. Get out of your own box on how you see things from your own point of view. And everything other than that point of view is forbidden, is not to be accepted, is not to be tolerated. If you're the caloric, as we talked about yesterday, again, I'm not using these. I don't use these in my everyday life. I don't go and talk to people for hours about being sanguine. However, I find this extremely helpful and fascinating and fun. So as you, and people have done it throughout history and in modern history, there's a book by last name of Bennett, I think, that was around, oh, maybe 10, 15 years ago, was popular, it's still around now, about the temperaments and about looking at it in a from a Christian point of view and also from your love life for your relationships, your children, and it helped engender tolerance for each other, the understanding that with a human being comes a certain propensity. The ancients may have called it a melancholic. They also related it to the different stages of life. You tend to see more of this in old age, more of this in youth, more of this in adolescent, more of this in infancy, more of this in middle age. We also branch out to say you are combinations. You can be combinations of all four and more. And then as we got more and more into psychology and into philosophy, we began to look at the different personality types and the different schools of psychological thought so they can connect the dots of the ancients with the modern day language and find out that we really are not so different. We will continue on with this thought on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me on Dr. Michelle Live.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. You are walking me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. 5734BREAD4. You can text or you can call. And again, I would love, my email is dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. I would love for you to give me your ideas, your opinions on what you would like to see if you were to run Friend of the Show. And you wanted to give some things away, or you wanted to provide some things for someone like you. That would be interesting. That would be fun. That would be great to have. We won't go with like cars or things like that. That's not going to work. Can't do that. However, it would be a great thing. So if you have any ideas, any thoughts, might be recipes, it might be anything, things about fasting, confession, PTSD, articles, blogs, whatever it is you wish you had access to or more of, or if you were in charge of running something like that, if you were in charge of running, hey, what will I give away for Friend of the Show, just for being a friend of the show? What would I do? What would I like? That'd be great. Get some good ideas there because I know you have them. And since we are all so different, what I might like is usually the case. Others aren't that hot on it. I have very unusual tastes, so you never know what you'll come up with if I'm left to my own devices. So I didn't want to spend the entire time talking about temperaments. I think we will kind of visit them throughout this week. I would like to do that. But I hope that you understand why I gave them to you. Now, as I said yesterday, we always have a disclaimer on our program because none of what we talk about is medical advice. So I want you to know that deeply. Mental health is an ever fluid, ever changing, ever rapidly transforming experience and what you can feel 1 second, as you all have felt, can be transformed in the next second into something exactly the opposite. You can feel so down and so like you just can't lift up your head, and then something can occur, or someone says something, or you see something outside, or your cat does something funny, or something goes on, or you have an epiphany, or you hear something in a gospel, or anything, or you have to drag yourself out to get, let's say you have a cat food, and something occurs to you. So you know that that can change. However, there are those degrees where things do occur with human beings for all different reasons: head trauma, viruses, fevers. There are some theories about obsessive compulsive disorder that happens after strep infections. After you get a strep infection as a child, well, who doesn't have strep infections sometime in their life? It's everywhere. Strep is everywhere. Strep is on our skin. It's in our air. It's what we eat. It's what we breathe. It's what we give to each other. We have immune systems, but sometimes we get sick, and sometimes we develop high fevers. Sometimes people fall off their bicycles, or they get hit in the head, as I did one time with a canoe falling off of the top of a van. And so you never know where and how that is going to affect you and hit you. Maybe you were given we see the outside manifestations. There was a very good antibiotic, tetracycline, which is still around today. It's not a bad antibiotic. It's a good antibiotic. But if it's given to children while their teeth are still developing, or it's given to pregnant women, there's all kinds of things that can happen. But it can discolor the teeth. Oddly, they get either whole discolorations of their teeth, or they get bands of gray, or kind of this greenish gray. And that occurs. So we see that as the outward manifestation of something from a good medicine that wasn't taken in toxic doses. But the same can happen with all kinds of things, either in our brain, or as we're learning very strongly now, even in animals, that the microbiome, the part of the gut, the bacteria that lives in the gut, that is so enormous that it has direct and indirect influences on our mood and our behaviors. So there's not an all or nothing statement in one way or another. It doesn't mean that you never take antibiotics. It doesn't mean that you'll ever have a problem if you've taken antibiotics. But what it does mean is that's the world we live in, and some people can have some very severe problems for whatever reason. The others seem to just happen, or they, quote, run in families, unquote, or they're genetically based. Some people are born prematurely, and they may have, depending on how that has affected them for whatever reason, maybe the surfactant in their lungs isn't developed enough, and the oxygen they get to their brain might not be quite as full and hearty as what someone else might get. And perhaps it affects a certain part of the brain that makes someone have a lifetime of anxiety a little bit more. Maybe they, you know, there's all kinds of things. It's just so amazing to me. So all that to say is that none of this is ever, it's meant for interest. It's meant for fun. It's meant for seriousness too, but it's also meant for a huge appreciation of how our souls and our lives are at once the mystery of being simple and yet extremely complicated. And so I never want you to go away. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to tell you what I don't want you to go away with. I'm going to tell you what I want you to go away with. I want you to always go away with the feeling, the awe and wonder of yourself, of your family, of your friends, of the human person, of God, of nature, of the animals around you. And I also want you to go with an appreciation that stigma about anything is just stigma. It's just people's tongues wagging. There is no shame in having a mental illness. There's no stigma. There's no There's no such thing as not loving God enough, and therefore you have a mental illness, or that you're inherently defective, therefore you have a mental illness. Things occur. Sometimes it's trauma. Sometimes it's child abuse. Sometimes things happen that can cause little doors in the brain to either close or open for survival reasons, and they can cause problems later on. So all that you put in your basket of why not use all the above in your tool basket? Why not use all the above as needed? You don't just make a soup with water and think, oh, well, that's soup. You add things and you add things and you utilize things. You might just look around your kitchen and say, what is at my disposal here that might go good together? So we have physicians. You may have to hunt around till you find one that you connect with. We have psychologists. We have priests who have been around the block. We have priests that have been in the military on the combat field. They're priests. They understand war. They've seen it. They've smelled it. They've held it. They get it. And then there are others who came from a very sanitized background just because they did. Came from a protected town, a protected suburb, a nice protected family, and they went through college, and there's nothing wrong with that. They will connect and be of service to all those around them as well. But take advantage of what you have at your disposal. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If you need a help from a counselor or someone thinks that you do, there's no shame in getting that help or a medication. A lot of people think, well, I can talk to a counselor, but I won't take a medication. Medications have their problems. All medications, what you want to affect in a medication is indeed itself a side effect. So if you want something to keep the pain away, that's a side effect of an opioid. There are lots of other side effects of opioids that we do not want. The constipation, the depression, the overdose, the dependency, to name a million, to mean just a few of a million of these little things that can happen. So remember, all medications, the desired effect is itself a side effect, and the negative side effects you do not want to have happen to you are there as well. So there's no shame in any of it. So I want you to be careful, use your gut, use your prayer, use your intuition, use nature, and use the people that God put around you as well. Utilize that. I can guarantee you today that as a dear friend of mine who had quite a severe series of dog bites from a dog he tried to rescue, is attesting. He's, you know, he loves the dog. He loves the animals. He hurts. He's got to go to occupational therapy. He has to put on the right kind of antibiotic creams and ointments and take the appropriate painkillers. He has to do that right now. So you might need that too. So that's kind of this entire segment was around that. But lest you think that we are kind of saying one or the other is right or wrong, I am not doing that, okay? I will tell you when I think something's just plain wrong. Because there are plenty I think is just plain wrong. And I think we can also use the right things for the wrong reasons or overuse them. So I will tell you that too. When we come back from the break, we're going to go back into a little bit more about tolerance and why that stems from understanding different personality types and temperaments. We're going to talk about fear. We're also going to talk about our church fathers a bit today from way, way back. I'm Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. So I am talking to Jennifer just a few minutes ago, and I was talking to Alex earlier because he came in and started the show, and Jennifer came in and then all of a sudden pops in, and there she is. And it's always fun because I expect to hear Alex's voice sometimes early when he starts a show, and then all of a sudden there's Jennifer. So it's great. I could talk to both of them. But Jennifer so sweetly reminded me that something that I was kind of moaning about, that I had done an entire program about it, and I had. And that is, and so you all have to just put up with me today. I fell asleep with my iPad on. I have to admit that. And I was just so awake. I thought, you know what? I was volunteering last night. I didn't get back till fairly late for me. And so I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll have something to eat. I'll do this. I'll do that. And I just could not get sleepy. So I thought, well, I'll just watch something mindless. And I don't even remember what, I don't know if I got to actually watch something, but fell asleep. And I woke up. And I thought, wow, it's dawn. And my eyes popped open. And I grabbed my phone and I realized it's 4 a.m. And that was that. So I've been up since 4 a.m. But I realized that my brain said it's dawn because that's what brains do. The pineal gland in your brain said, and my brain said, it's dawn. Wake up. It's time. And what it wasn't dawn at all. It was the dawn of my iPad. It was the light of my iPad because it doesn't go off or have a screensaver. So, you know, I don't always practice what I preach. So in all these things, as I was talking about before the break, we are here for education. We're here to help each other. I share with you, you share with me. I don't mind at all being reminded of things like that. As Jennifer said, Dr. Michelle, didn't you just do, or didn't you a while back do an entire program about sleep and about all of our, and things such as even the smoke alarms, they have found disrupt sleep because your body does not ignore these things. It's a very simple yet very complicated machine. As I was saying on the other side of, on the last segment, your brain doesn't want to, when it is coming up out of sleep, and it's going by a biological clock, it doesn't want to give you all the reasons. It just says light. It's like hunger, eat. It doesn't have to go through all kinds of things. It doesn't have to go through. Now, you can intellectually, if you're looking at a picture of a hamburger and all of a sudden you're super hungry and you want a hamburger, you can go, oh, well, that's just suggestion. And you can maybe talk yourself out of it, but I'll bet you 9 times out of 10, you go and get that hamburger. But our bodies just have some very simple language. Picture, stimulate, hunger center, I want to eat. That's why they have, our internet is so, can be so addictive, and why anywhere you go, they're going to have some kind of intriguing or even verging on pornographic little squares, little windows pop up. And I will tell you, someone who hardly ever used internet at all, and quite an adult, I mean, close to 60, was all of a sudden really upset. And I said, well, what's going on? And they were so shocked and upset because they really had stayed away from the internet. I don't know how they did this, but they lived in a city. They stayed away from an internet, and they had no habituation, which we all do. We have a numbness now to these pornographic ads that pop up. And they are in themselves, they're not, but they're suggestive. And they lead whoever is interested into like some of the free TV show sites where you just, it could be any, you could be looking at something completely innocent. It could be the very short-lived series of the Bible. But you're still going to get those little ads on the side because they just figure one of these days somebody's going to go ahead and click on that thing. So we have a mind that just says we're very Pavlovian, Pavlov's dog. You have a little bell ring and that dog starts to salivate. Well, our brains see light and they say, no sleep. Light, don't sleep. No light, sleep. And that's lay down, sleep. Walk around, don't sleep. It's kind of how we are. So now let's get back to this whole temperament idea about you, your loved ones, the one you want to love, the one who you want to love you. Why are these things important? They're housed in all kinds of modern day language. But when it comes down to it, we are a combination of some very simple subtypes. And those subtypes have been talked about in every language and every age since people started walking around this earth. Why it's important is this, is as a whole culture, or any culture, whatever culture we are in, we as humans are in, we tend to be in a culture that decides that it's safe and secure if we all kind of are the same kind of person. And so you have a certain kind of ethic that happens to roam around. If it's a religious society that will kill you if you're not that religion, then you kind of start being that religion. Or you try to escape. If you are built on ingenuity and invention and hard work, having to carve your existence or your ancestors' existence out of mountains, then we value this hard work. So what happens then, we start to go like my brain did, light, wake up, dark, sleep. Light on after dark, must be dawn. The conclusion was wrong. The reaction was natural, but my conclusion was wrong. It was not dawn. But as I opened my eyes, my thought in my brain was, oh, it's dawn. And then there was a series of events that told me, no. Plus, I feel very tired. But the point is that when you are in a society that values, let's say, as we looked at, let's put it in the ancient terms, it values the caloric temperament, the fire that's associated with fire, the get the job done, get it done, speak out, go a million miles an hour, be tireless, never stop. You're the little engine that could. You're going to keep on going and keep. We value that so much. And we don't have much patience or tolerance. We tend to think that's good, other bad. We tend to think very black and white, just like picture hamburger, hungry, even if you're not hungry. Oh, then you can start thinking, I just ate. So now it's time to start thinking, oh, well, this is my temperament. This is my personality, or these are my combinations. I'm a combination of all three and all the other little branches that came out. So maybe I tend to be more melancholic and I have some of the caloric, let's say. So how is that going to play out? I may be a very avid writer who can stay up to all hours of the night writing and writing and writing and writing. And I could be passionate about what I do and I want to bring it to everybody else. But I might be miserable at balancing a checkbook or miserable about going through school. And if your child or your spouse or your mother or your father are like that and you are the opposite, you tend to want them to be more like the group they come from. And then we have conflict and then we spread the dissatisfaction that our more intellectual societies, the ones that have the leisure to be more intellectual, tend to do. We tend to breed discontent. We tend to breed discontent in our children and then we look at it as a pathology. We look at it as something that needs to be medicalized because you might be a caloric couple, let's say. And I'm putting these in ancient terms now. So you're a high energy, high power, get it done couple. You're accomplished, you've got educations, you are leaders, you know how to organize, everything's going, you've got a plan, you've got a retirement plan, you've got your car payments perfect and all that. And you may have a dreamer for a child. Or a child who doesn't seem to be able to get, or you might have someone just like you who can't sit still and everyone's telling you, well, they need medicine because they can't sit still. Again, the whole reason for my almost entire segment about why we should utilize everything is that we need to start instilling tolerance for ourselves, tolerance for those closest to us, and our personality quirks and changes, the transitions we go through in life, and there is no time limit. And it's worse and worse with young mothers now who get on the internet and they see YouTubes and the heartfelt crying sessions or happy, happy, happy sessions about what any given child is doing or not doing. And it can be very swaying to a young mother who only wants to do right by their child, and yet they actually are not allowing that child to tell them who they are, to tell them what they are, what their temperament will be. And what your temperament is at two, I will pretty much guarantee you, part of it will shine through for the rest of your life, but you're going to be just a little different as you get older, as you incorporate these different combinations and you settle out into the ones that are more manifest of the unique being that you are. So we will take this up on the other side of the break. I also want to talk a little bit about fear and selling out. When we come back, this is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Email me anytime, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. Email me your thoughts and suggestions about what you might like to see on a page for a friend of the show, or not just on a page, but perhaps maybe a little item that we can offer that would be different than what you might just get right here, something a little extra. What is it you'd like to see? As I said in the first segment of the show, there are things that I have heard about or seen, not so much in many different venues, but it's like I'll hear them and I'll think, wow, I didn't know that existed. And I'll hunt it up and I'll think, wow, that's really cool. And there you go. So these are the little discoveries, little gems that we have along the way. And if you share them with each other, then we will be able to share them. I will be able to share them with whoever is around. So let's talk about temperaments still. We're going to continue on with our temperament idea. It's about tolerance. It's about understanding who you are and also not selling out the combinations of your uniqueness for a sense of security and belonging. We sell out all the time. We have, and it's easier and easier to sell out because we have, as I mentioned before the break, young mothers have all kinds of YouTubes that tell you this is where you should be, or this is where my, whether it's from an expert or whether it's from other mothers. Oh, look what my child's doing. When I was visiting my family recently and talking to other people, talking to people who have little one-year-olds and two-year-olds, because that's kind of the world that they're living in right now. And I'm hearing these different ideas, these different thoughts, and it is actually a major struggle, as it always has been, because you don't want to miss anything. But it's a major struggle for parents right now to walk their talk, because their words are, I know my child, they are unique, They're their own little entity. I can see their personality forming now. I know that they're very smart, or I know that they're very verbal, or they're not very verbal. And I'm not really worried about part of them lagging behind. But then I start seeing these other children, and I start thinking that maybe I'm not doing the best I can for my child. Case in point are people that are getting their children into different kinds of therapies, even as young as a year. Now, at a year, believe me, there's nothing about you that's formed completely. I mean, obviously, your body certainly isn't, so your brain certainly is not going to be, and your eyes aren't going to be, and your mouth isn't going to be, and your ears aren't going to be. It just isn't going to happen. It's formed for a one-year-old, and it's perfect, and it runs just like it's supposed to run. But your unique one-year-old is a unique one-year-old, and they're who they are going to be is in and will ever be in transformation, just like how you are going to be is and forever will be in transformation. If you have a 12-month-old, you are completely transformed, and let's say you're 32. In all your 31 years or 30 years, you were never where you are now. You were completely transformed. You went from not being a mother to being a mother, or being a mother of this particular child, or being a father. Complete transformation. So why do we sell out? Well, part of the reason that we do sell out and that we do get swayed and we get tempted to start to get fearful is because, one, we haven't learned about accepting the fluidity of these different, quote, humors, unquote. Things from the ancients, they were flowing. They combined and they uncombined. They massed together and then they kind of, like taffy, pulled apart. They had ages, they had seasons. To everything there is a season. That wasn't about the temperament, but it was certainly about life. They have seasons. And you would no more call a person who is 95 years old reminiscing about 60 years ago pathological than you would a little child who's throwing a temper tantrum because they're 1.5 or 2. You don't look at that and say that's pathological. It's par for the course. It's what happens. So this program, as I rambled through and I told you about my little time clock and my complete lack of sleep last night, to bring home from it tolerance. But tolerate yourself first. Love yourself first. Don't sell yourself out. We tend to sell our deepest beliefs and our deepest needs out because we are afraid if we don't, we will lose our support system. We will lose our place of security. We will lose our people. We will lose our family. We will lose our neighbors and our friends. We will lose the place in a classroom for our child or for us. But what happens is we begin to separate ourselves from us, from our own selves, and we cannot help but pass that ability on to our children. The further you are separated from you, the more that your child is brought up in a household where living very compartmental lives is part of being in the family. So when you sell yourself out, when nothing is holy ground, not even your belief system, not even your most intimate knowledge of your own child, where everything is sold out and mainly because of fear. Now, don't beat yourself up for that, because you can reverse that. You can reverse that. Now, from way back as well, the Desert Fathers, from now probably 500 or 600 years from when the humors were being thought of, we have the Church Fathers. And the Church Fathers, who I read to yesterday when they were talking about the three powers of Satan, forgetfulness, negligence, and desire. So the forgetfulness of your individuality and your uniqueness, then that leads to negligence of your individuality, your uniqueness, your place on the earth. So you ignore, you neglect the parts of you that will be the light that shines for yourself and for others. And then the next thing is desire. So our desires, no, we not do desire some big car or some other spouse or a different face or whatever. We're not talking about that right now. We desire uniformity. We desire to be what those others, whoever they might be, are saying is the way to be. That's what our desires become, two-dimensional. They become very flimsy, very very cardboard. And we don't want that, because we will eventually, Mother Nature always has its way, eventually you will come out to meet you. You will come out and knock on your own door and say, I don't know if you know this, but you left me a long time ago. But I want to find out who you are. And it will come back. So it's good to start now. No matter what age you are, start now. If you are before you're in a relationship and before you have children, all the better to start now. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, if you are elderly, if you have been, if you're a nun or a priest, no matter what you are, it isn't too late, because this is what we are about. God made you full in His image and likeness, and in His image and likeness, there are not limits, and there is no stagnant place, and it is love. So you deserve to love you. One way in this, the Church Fathers, in this book of the elders from the Desert Fathers, back in about 40 AD, I guess it is. One thing I say, I'll leave you with this today. It says, it first, remember, they put this in terms of Satan. Satan is a rope maker. As long as you provide him with the threads, he braids, which is so true. However, here's some advice. Practice silence. Be anxious about nothing. At laying down and getting up, apply yourself to your meditation with fear of God, and you will not fear the assaults of the ungodly. And remember, those people with good intentions that are trying to, quote, help you out, unquote, they're not necessarily bad people, but they aren't supporting the uniqueness of you. This is where we want to go to. I'm Dr. Michelle. We'll take this up tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.